एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू एन एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट ओरिजिनल।
Hi, I'm Pragya Gulati and I lead marketing at HT Smartcast. Welcome to this exclusive series, HT Smartcast Leadership Lessons. I'm going to be talking to leaders across industries, discussing their journeys, their aspirations, their challenges, and how they overcame them. This is an HT Smartcast original from HT Smartcast, which is India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. So for this episode, I'm very glad to welcome Mr. Ganesh Gopalan, co-founder and CEO at Nani.ai. He has technology and marketing leadership experience over 25 years in companies such as Texas Instruments and IBM. Nani.ai is a conversational AI company with products and solutions for omnichannel automation and analytics. With partners like Intel and Nvidia and academic partners like IISc, Nani.ai is leading the conversational AI revolution. Hi, Ganesh. How are you?
Great, Pragya. Thanks for having me here.
Pleasure to have you. So how is it going post, not exactly post-COVID world, but then just coming out of the second wave, let's call it this way. Let's hope the third wave is over. So how is it going for the conversational AI space?
So I think obviously it's, uncertain and interesting times, but I think one of the things that has happened with the overall uncertain environment for the last year, right? And to quote a phrase, we all hate, that says the new normal, right? So essentially what that means, but however, from, a context of the industries that we operate is that there's a wider acceptance of digital transformation, right? And that has moved, out of the boardrooms into real action, right?
Absolutely.
And conversational AI is one of the key elements there, right? That drives this, right? So across, I would say, multiple of our applications, whether it's on the automation side, right? Or on the analytics where companies are looking to strive to get more, I would say, insights on their operations, right? Or thirdly, even from a fraud detection standpoint, we have a third product on voice biometrics. So we've seen good interest, from the market over the last year. I would say exponential interest compared to what it was earlier. So definitely that is one of the positive impacts in this really, I would say, uncertain environment that we have today.
Right. There's also a joke floating on that who has driven digital transformation in companies. So is it the CEO or the CTO or is it COVID? So the answer is clearly COVID because some of the things that we never thought that we could do, there were people who were reluctant to use very basic tools like Teams and all. But now, obviously, everyone has sort of become very comfortable with technology, so to say. So what do you think are the trends in this space, conversational AI, with the boost that has come in because of COVID? What do you think is going to come in the future? What are the trends going on?
Yeah, so I guess today, a lot of the engagements that we have with customers are a lot with the, the automation and the analytics processes. I mean, give you a few examples. One of the key things that we do, for example, of like automation of certain processes, right? Where it doesn't really make sense to have a human to do that kind of stuff. Say a reminder call for, say, insurance premiums, right?
Yeah.
Now, our agents are more, for example, contact center agents are more suited to, say, doing persuasion and all those kind of stuff, right? Where there's an emotional connect. But in the past, a lot of these things were done by agents. But now we are seeing adoption on such use cases where, a lot of these routine kind of processes, right, are being replaced by conversational bots like what we do. Secondly, it's also a question of, how well these conversations happen, right? We always had some sort of a voice blast and stuff like that, right? But these are going to be, real conversations that you have in any, for example, in any Indian language, right? If there's somebody in Chennai, the bot talks to them in Chennai, in Tamil, and has an intelligent conversation with them, right? So these are these are very interesting times, and we are very excited to see, you know, the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that's really incredible. So you're saying that language translation is also something which is coming up in a big way, and especially in a very complex market like India, I think it's something that's required, right?
Definitely. What you're saying, Pragya, is definitely true. Let's suppose you're a customer in Chennai, for example. The last thing you would like is somebody calling you in Hindi, right? And trying to have a conversation with you, which you don't know, right? So, and if it's, that's not good for the brand that's trying to communicate to that customer, right? So, and India is all a country of so many accents, so many dialects, right? So it's very important for to get this language piece right in the course of automation. And today we have probably, you know, from our benchmarks and benchmarks done by, you know, mobile OEMs like the likes of Samsung and others, say that our, you know, like our speech and our you know, our engines are, you know, as good or better than some of the global giants. So very proud of it, obviously being an Indian. But the best part about all this are, you know, the fact that, you know, whether it's Indian languages or global languages. So it's not just about India, right? So every part of the world has their own, you know, uniqueness, right? The way a person, you know, say in the southern states of US speaks English is again very different from a, like a Yankee accent. Right. So it's not, yes, it's about India, but not just about India. It's also global. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to get the language piece right.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you also mentioned about persuasion, empathy, things like this. So how difficult is it to bring these kind of elements in AI? And there's something called sarcasm, right? Which we understand as human beings. I remember there was somebody had posted on Twitter just as a frustrating statement, oh, thank you so-and-so airlines for taking me to Kolkata and putting my baggage to Hyderabad. And the airlines replied, thank you so much, we're happy to serve you. Because that bot couldn't understand the sarcasm behind it. So probably it could just match some phrases like thank you, and therefore it replied with a thank you. So that became viral. And so how do you incorporate these elements in AI?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting topic. And you know, so it's not just about the tech, right? I mean, obviously there's an element of the technology, right, that tries to understand the emotions of the sentiment, right, behind every phrase that's spoken. But there's also a lot of this linguistics that comes into play. It's just not like putting a, you know, a great tech out there and, you know, thinking that would work. So one of the things that we do, for example, is work with a lot of linguists. You know, a lot of these linguists, for example, you know, understand colloquial speech, right? And it's very important to work with them so that colloquially you know how best to communicate, right? So we do a lot of work, I would say, first is, of course, the technology. And then within the technology, how you understand emotions. On top of it, you know, you need to work with a lot of these linguists that we do. That gives us a real idea of what is really meant. Like, let's suppose a person says yes. Does he mean a yes or does he mean a no? Right. So there's like there's a lot of things you know behind that as well.
Yeah.
So you know, so there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of AI that goes into it.
A lot of big data that, as well, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of modeling that has to be done on you know to understand the outcomes. Right. And model a AI engine, perhaps, to say when this particular person says a yes, actually, it means a maybe or it means a no and not exactly.
Like, is it a yes?
So that's the whole.
Yes, like a confident yes. OK, then how does a machine figure that out? Very interesting stuff. So is voice also coming out in a big way? Because I've been hearing all these V's. Some say V, one V is vernacular. It will come in a big way. And then another V is voice. So is voice also coming in a big way in AI?
Yeah, so I believe voice is extremely important, and definitely a lot of work in the last few years on the AI front had been on the tech side, like in terms of chatbots and so on and so forth. We are fundamentally a voice-first company. We also do, you know, all the other channels, automation, but we are a voice first company, and we feel that that is really the most natural form of communication, right? When you and I communicate, we are communicating by voice. I'm not typing something and communicating.
Yeah.
So why should it be very different from machines, right? When you communicate with machines, it should be where you are natural, right? And it should be in your own language. It shouldn't be like you're constrained the words you use, right? So those are, I would say, both the opportunities and challenges in the voice space. Which we think are here to stay, right? And this is the evolution. Every earlier companies used to have an AI strategy, right? Now, within that, now a lot of companies are saying that, hey, what's your voice strategy, right? So we need to have a voice AI strategy is what all companies are now thinking about. Mm-hmm. And what can we do to, use this to enhance our brands and the way we interact with our customers?
Mm-hmm. So then when you talk about voice, what are the considerations that you take? So should the customer service voice be a male voice for a female audience, or how should it be? Or should it be just to create that diversity factor, or what kind of age factor should it be? I mean, I'm sure there will be such considerations, right? So how do you go about it?
So you obviously know a lot about this, right? And because I have not seen others asking this kind of questions. So very, very good question, right? And again, it depends on the use case, right? And this is what I talked about, why it's not just about the technology. So let's suppose you have a bot, for example, on the other side, right? Let's suppose it's a push use case, right? You want to push the customer to do a certain activity. Remind him on some actions, say a insurance policy reminder or a loan payment reminder. Then you take into element bunch of these things, right? Like what is the demographic profile of the customer, and based on it, what is your use case, right? And then again, look at what voice should be used.
Wow.
So, for example, if it's like a lead qualification use case, then the whole thing changes. I mean, here you're trying to sell something here.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure you have the right, the profile of the voice that is going to appeal to the customer to buy or that particular product. So again, it depends on the use case. It depends. Yes, very good point. When you talk about, should we have a female? It's not only about, the male or the female. Again, the age, right? And what kind of voice they have. Do they have an aggressive voice? Do they have a soft voice? All these are very important decisions. This is what I call the new SEO. In the old days, people used to design websites, right?
Right.
And, make sure they put the right words in it so that Google finds them.
Absolutely.
Right? So that you sell better. And today, I feel with voice interface coming in, all these factors are important, right? The kind of voice you use, the words you use, the length of the sentences that you use. Now, a lot of these, the information about this was in the heads of many of the expert call center agents, if I can say, right? They would know what to do in particular cases. And now the machines have to adapt and try to get better because they are, again, tireless and non-fatigued. And, obviously they can do a lot of these things. So very interesting question, very close to my heart. And a lot of work that we do today in this respect, because like you correctly said, it's not just a technology, but how do you make it appealing?
Absolutely. And especially in today's world, right, where there's so much of information symmetry, where consumers know as much as brands know. Consumers nowadays are shamelessly just bashing brands left, right and center. It was not the case, let's say, some 20 years ago, where there was, one-sided communication from brands. Earlier, it was more like a branding sort of an exercise that used to happen from the brand's end. But now it's like consumers are very much participating in creating products or creating brands. So while you spoke about users' demographics, do you also take into consideration certain psychographics to create those use cases?
Yeah, definitely. It's a bunch of these things. Just look at it this way, right? It's all about CX, You need to understand not only who are your customers, what are their behaviors, and what are their affinities, right? So in many of the cases, we may not have all this data, But what really matters is, again, the use case, right? And, you know, the kind of AI models that, or the data that you can process to, you know, come up with, I would say, the right answers or the right ways to talk to people. But very important, like you said, it's not just about automation. It's not about, you know, understanding customers or analytics. This, the customer experience is very important, like you said, right? And that, I think, is a very important factor. So it, it should not be one versus the other, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a question of saying, it cannot, you know, be I've automated. Yeah, I've automated this stuff, you know, but the, you know, the customer experience is bad. It's okay. It doesn't work that way, right? I mean, it has to work together.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's very important.
Yeah. So do you think there are certain sectors who have more affinity for conversational AI in the customer service space? I'm sure tech brands, and tech is coming up in a huge way. It could be ed tech, could be food tech, could be any other product tech companies. I'm sure they will have an affinity. But there are other sectors. I think travel and tourism should also be one of them, though it's going through a very bad phase right now. But then do you think there are some other sectors which have an affinity towards these kind of services?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and we get surprised every day, right? The companies that we least expect to embark on this journey, we often sometimes we see that they are the first. They are typically uncluttered, right? So mm-hmm. if you look at, say, you know, like we work with like logistics companies, right? We work mm-hmm. with companies across the sector, right? B2B companies, right? And you would not think that, you know, these are the sort of companies who would be embarking on this sort of exercise. So we are getting surprised every day, right? Of course, I would say the usual suspects are the banking and finance kind of companies. The
you know, a lot of customer service required, BFSI.
Yes. E-commerce, like you correctly said, logistics. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we are getting surprised by even within these, right? With the, even if you take just take these sectors, mm-hmm. We are getting more and more surprised by the interest that we are seeing from companies whom we thought were traditional, right? Or, you know, mm-hmm. Would not really embark on this journey, right? So, mm-hmm. for example, even if you look at the US, right? When we work with customers there, we're seeing, you know, a new kind of use cases coming in, right? And it's kind of surprising sometimes that old school, what we think are old school companies are embarking on, you know, some of these journeys.
Incredible. So you touched upon the global landscape a bit, but can you elaborate more on that? Like, how is India doing vis-a-vis the globe and where is Gnani positioned?
First and foremost, I think from a tech standpoint, I think we are there. You know, like we have a tech that works. We can work in any market of the world, right? Across voice as well as, you know, text kind of technologies for automation and analytics, right? From a customer, you know, engagement standpoint, it again, it depends on the use cases, right? I mean, yes, there is acceptance in India, there's acceptance across the world, but the use cases that you need to look at have to be very localized. Now, if you look at it from a very India perspective, you look at what are the problems in industry today, mm-hmm. right? And then you try to go ahead and solve it. If you're looking at the United States, you look at, you know, traditionally, where are those problems? But across the world, we are seeing a greater adoption of voice-based automation services, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people did, for example, chatbots in the last few years, right?
Right. Right.
Now, for example, my my son is in 12th grade and he can actually write a chatbot. So it's now it's become a pretty much a commodity, right? So, you know, so but what we think is very special is voice, because there's like even some of those things that you talked about earlier, right? So one part is the tech, one part is how you understand people, how you adapt the tech, incorporate linguistics and other things into it. So that you provide a great, I would say, automation or analytics experience, but also at the same time, provide great CX so that the customers are happy with, you know, the kind of solutions that you provide.
Okay, so what are the trends going to be in the future? Let's say 5 years, 10 years down the line?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Pragya. So first and foremost, a lot of stuff that we are doing today is, you know, how we interact, how the brands interact with customers, right? And helping that journey. But what we're going to see in the future is a lot of very exciting stuff, right? For example, we're just embarking on the start of conversational commerce, right? You know, that's going to be something really interesting, you know, where you're going to actually be able to talk and, you know, buy products like we do in the real world. And moving forward, if you look at stuff, you know, even from interaction with the offline world, right? For example, sounds a little, I guess, from a science fiction world, but you're probably going to have holograms who talk to you, you know, at storefronts and, you know, stuff like that. We already started doing some of these things. For example, we have something, a very interesting product on voice cloning, right? So, for example, our products are such that, you know, the voice that our bots give out can be in the voice of, for example, any celebrity or any avatar that you would like to have, right?
Incredible.
So, yeah. So, and these things that it's already here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is here. And we have developed a lot of this stuff and are at the forefront. But we are going to see in the future a lot of these technologies coming out in the real world. The post-COVID environment, especially, you're going to have, you know, obviously, we're going to go back to visiting stores. And you're going to see that experience also being influenced in a big way by conversational commerce, if I can put it that way. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and it's going to be very exciting times. You're going to see synthetic bodies. You're going to be, you know, that are going to have conversations with you. It's the kind of applications that we are going to see are going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, for example, if you have for children, right, for them to interact to these avatars, right, who will actually talk back to them is going to be incredible. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you again look at it from a senior's perspective, you're going to have, you know, folks above 60, again, who'd love to have conversation.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. Actually, good from a mental health perspective as well, just to kill the loneliness, right? And which is something which is prevalent so much in these gloomy times, so to say.
Yes. So there's going to be a lot of applications, like you correctly pointed out. It's going to be, you know, the whole world is going to change through conversational AI. And we are going to be very surprised with the world that we will see, say, post 5 to 6 years.
Wow. Just that we need to ensure that we stay till then, considering the havoc that COVID has created. So on a personal note, if I were to ask you, let's say if someone as young as your son is to ask you, okay, I want to become the next Ganesh Gopalan, what would your advice be?
Well, I would ask him to raise his sights firstly. most of the, I would say, unicorns have CEOs in their early 30s or late 20s or in the early 20s sometimes. So I think it has to be done much earlier. So I would first ask him to raise his sights and look higher, because I think the opportunities in the market today are amazing. And secondly, as you know, a lot of Indians have the confidence today that, you know, they can compete and win against the best in the world. So I do think that such a huge opportunity for the people who will graduate in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Right. So any last thoughts, any leadership lesson that you would like to share for our listeners?
Well, I think nothing in particular, I guess. You know, I think it's just some of the things that you learn. The one thing I would say that when you're an entrepreneur, you may have years of experience and you may think you know a lot, but I have to say that you don't know much, right?
It makes you very humble.
It makes you, yeah, it teaches you that, you know, basically you know nothing. So so it's like, I think four years of entrepreneurship have probably been equivalent to, probably much more than the, you know, 20 or 25 years of corporate experience that I had.
Wow.
So I guess it teaches you a lot about life. It teaches you a lot about, you know, I would say how to work with people, how to interact with people. And I think it's it's a great experience. So I would, definitely, ask people to, consider entrepreneurship, as an option.
Thank you so much, Ganesh. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. And I wish you all the best for your journey ahead and for Gnani as well.
Thank you, Pragya. Thanks so much for having me.
So if you have any feedback or would like to feature in HT Smartcast Leadership Lessons, you can ping me @PragyaGulati on LinkedIn. You can also write to us @HTSmartcast. HT Smartcast is present across social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. For more such podcasts, go to htsmartcast.com. Thank you.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.